It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Book of Exodus today, Exodus chapter 3, going to begin reading with the 18th verse, Exodus chapter 3, verse 18. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. I'm sure glad that you've joined us. I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the reading today. Exodus chapter 3, verse 18. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Chapter 4. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his own flesh. And it came to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to thy voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech, and of slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? We're going to end there with the reading of God's precious word and begin with prayer. We love the word. Now please join me in prayer as we begin the study. Father, I thank and praise you that we can come together, study your precious word, enjoy this time. It's a wonderful study. Any part, any word of yours, dear God, is wonderful. And I just ask that you will open our eyes and our ears to your way and to your will. Guide and lead us today, please, dear God, please, that you will lead us. We need your Spirit to to set the ways forward that we may clearly see and understand. So please, dear Lord, guide us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we looked at this earlier chapter of chapter 3, we find that the call was given through the burning bush, all that was to take place. And that call just continues here. I am come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites. And remember, as we've talked about each time, that God brings us, when we come out of sin, out of the bondage of sin, He doesn't just bring us out of there. He sets us unto our course of heaven, a direction of being like Jesus Christ, and allows us and strengthens us and guides us and leads us. And for the nation of Israel, when he was raising up this leader named Moses. And when he, for 40 years, Moses was trained in Egypt. For 40 years, he was deprogrammed in the wilderness of Midian, and so the deserts of Midian. And now, after 80 years, God is about to bring forth and do a work with this man. And so now he calls him. And when he called him, he says, you know, here am I. And he turned to him, and he began to speak to him and to guide. And it's a wonderful, as we had it in this past couple of times that we've been together, clearly, and Moses said, I now go and turn aside and see the great sight, why the bush is not burnt. In other words, this burning bush, but the bush wasn't burning it. It wasn't consuming it. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And I hope when God calls you, you say, here am I. That's all you need to do for salvation. And I hope today you come by faith to Jesus Christ and you're saved. When he calls, you respond. That's all you got to do. Please. Because he has to do the calling, but you have a free will and you need to respond. So I hope that you do that today. And the call has went out. We have everything before us here, and then he talks, is still given the instructions of what he's supposed to do. They shall hearken unto thy voice. Thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice unto our God. So, first of all, the command was given, the request was given, that we are able to leave this land. We will be able to go out from here and into the wilderness 3 days, and we can go and we can worship and offer sacrifices unto our God, and then we'll return. And that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God was the request. Well, not only Moses was to go, but he was to go with the backing of the leaders of Israel, the elders of Israel. And so that was the first call. And then, verse 19, God told him. Now you think about this, because God has just told Moses what he's going to have him to do. And he also tells him something else. I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. The king of Egypt sees you as slaves, sees you as a commodity that you can buy and sell. He's not about to let something of such great profit. It wasn't that the nation of Israel was of great value in to be able to sell them, but their ability to work and the slaves that he had, the millions of slaves here that he had working, you know, as we look at that, they were losing a great amount of their economy if Israel was to leave. And so just looking at that side of it, not to mention that there was some concern about the nation of Israel lifting their hand against Egypt. If another enemy would come, would Israel join them and defeat us? And so they weren't about to let them raise up and go, because chances are they'd come back after the way they've treated them, after the way they've been beaten down, I'm not about to let them go. Well, God knew the heart of Pharaoh. I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. And verse 20, I will stretch out my hand. I will smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. Now, Moses had to believe. Moses had to come by faith to God. And look at what God was calling him to do. When Moses said, "Here am I," when God called him, did Moses have any idea that God was going to call him to go back to Egypt from Midian, go back to Egypt and lead the nation of Israel out from Egypt to the promised land? I'm sure he had no idea. God has called him to do that. God has given him the instructions of how. He says, he's not going to let you go, but I will. I will stretch out my hand. I will smite Egypt with all my wonders. I will do it in the midst thereof. I'll do it right in the middle of them. And they're going to see my strength. I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. Now, this is very interesting, because you see, they're slaves. Slaves have no gold. Slaves have no silver. Slaves don't even have the brass and the bronze. And when we get down the line and we get to Mount Sinai and they get the directions to the tabernacle, they need much gold. Well, where did the gold come from? Also, for the foundation of the tabernacle was made of silver, and everyone was to give a half a shekel of silver. Where was this to come from? It was to come from the Egyptians. God would bring it all these years. Egypt, many, many years, Egypt has abused and misused Israel. God said, we're going to spoil them when we leave. Not only will they let you go after I get done with them, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Now, you talk about a miracle. We see the parting of the Red Sea and all these things, and we look at those great miracles. But look at the miracle God performed to protect his people. And he will do the same thing for us, to protect us and give us what we need. He will see that we have what we need. It may not be what we want, but it's what we need. And so now we look and we find that God is changing the hearts. And they just go and they ask, again, a step of faith. An Israelite, a servant, going before an Egyptian and asking them for their gold and their silver, for their precious, precious jewels, took faith. You see, faith doesn't start just in the New Testament. Faith started from the very beginning when Adam and Eve was called upon God, when the coats of skin was placed upon them. They needed to know by faith that meant salvation. You need to know today that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Jesus died for you. He shed his blood for you. And you must come to him by faith, trusting that your sins are forgiven, trusting that you have an eternal home in heaven, trusting in him by faith. And when you come by faith, he will save you and he will keep you. What a wonderful walk that we have. It is a miracle to be saved, to come by faith to Jesus Christ. It was a miracle the day that the Egyptians handed over their jewelry to these slaves. never could it have, you couldn't have taken it by force. There's no way that you could have taken these jewels except God put it in the hearts of the Egyptians to surrender. And Israel, the only people of Israel that didn't receive the spoil of Egypt are the ones that didn't walk by faith. The ones that didn't trust the word of God and think that is a foolish thing. They will put me to death right there if I would do that. Well, the earthly, the flesh side would say that and would be right. That's exactly what's going to take place. And I'm going to die if I would do that. But where does the side of faith come in? Where does that step of faith that you can receive the blessings of God? And what a strange place to get it. To walk into your master's house and ask your master for their jewels. And go to the neighbor and ask the neighbor for their jewels, for their silver, for their gold, for their raiment. And so you see, when we finish here, well, we're going to have every article, every product that we're going to need to build this tabernacle down the line. God knew. These people had no idea what they were doing in collecting these jewels. And we know that they did later on build a golden calf out of these jewels that they have gained. But you think about who was the one that didn't receive the spoil? Who was the one that didn't have the half a shekel of silver? It was the one that did not come by faith and go down the road and stop at their neighbors and ask them for their gold and their silver and their raiment. It's the one that didn't have faith. The one today that gets no blessings of God, doesn't see the power and the strength of God at all, is the one that has no faith. And the scripture is so clear. No faith, no. If your faith doesn't produce works, your faith is dead. It's dead. We need some works. He asked for action, and multitudes gave him action. They stepped forth by faith. I want you to step forth by faith today and come to Jesus Christ. And then I want you to step forth in faith and trust God and watch Him bless you. Now, will He bless you with silver and gold? Not necessarily. We're not promised that. But we are promised with a blessing of eternal life. We're promised with life itself. We're promised with a life here and now of peace and of joy and of pleasure of walking with Jesus Christ. That's what we're promised today. So please today, please look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Jesus Christ today. Please, it's a miracle that He changed the people's hearts. But the Israelites didn't accept that miracle, didn't become a part of it until they stepped out by faith. It's the same thing with you. You said, "Boy, I can't believe that anybody can take all my sins away." Well, Jesus Christ can. Jesus Christ paid the debt on the cross. Come by faith. Step out. That's what I'm asking you to do today. We get to the fourth chapter now in this wonderful study, Exodus chapter 4. And Moses said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." Now, this here is not speaking of the what's going to take place with Pharaoh. He's talking about, will the elders, will they trust in me? And so the first thing that he tells him, that God tells Moses, is, well, the Lord said to him, "What is that in thine hand?" And Moses, being a shepherd, he kept a staff or a rod in his hand. And so he's holding this rod, and in doing so, he said, the Lord said, as he spoke to him, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it onto the ground. It became a serpent. Well, you look to see this wicked, evil product that come here in the as he cast this rod to the ground. How did Moses react to that? Moses ran. He couldn't believe it. I mean, you think about that, a staff that you held in your hand, and he just cast it to the ground, and it turned into this serpent. You know, this rod that Moses held, this has been quite a something to Moses. It's something to lean on. It is a thing of authority. One even called it a badge of authority. And that's something that came with this rod or with this staff. You know, we have Moses lifting it up before the sea and it parting. We have many times with this rod things taking place. So you remember that this is the start of it. He had it in his hand. It was something ordinary, something normal. And God took that, and he was going to use this rod to testify before the nation of Israel that I am come, have come from God. And so, but what a strange thing to turn it into. He turned it into a serpent. A serpent. Something that was wicked. One even called it a monster, you know. And so as it was placed there, we will find that the rod will be used not only to convince the nation of Israel and the elders of Israel that Moses is definitely sent from God, but God is going to also use that same rod to testify to the Egyptians, to Pharaoh, that he is God. And so that rod is definitely of great value to Moses. In the rod itself, there is nothing spectacular about it. But at the same time, it is something that is going to be used of God to bring honor and glory unto God. It's going to get the nation of Israel moved out of Egypt. It's going to get the nation of Israel convinced that Moses is their leader sent by God to lead them out. You know, there's a lot of things in this old life that are tools of value. They can be tools of value for Satan, or it can be tools of value for God, and it can be the same item depending on how you use it. Now, Moses laid this thing down, turned into a serpent. Well, that's an ugly thing. That's a nasty thing. That's a poisonous thing. Well, then God tells him, he says, you know, he not only cast it down, and Moses ran. Well, once the Lord finally caught Moses and brought him back, he said, put forth your hand and take it by the tail. You know, that's exactly what we should be doing with that old serpent, that old devil himself. We should grab him by the tail because he's been whipped. He's been defeated, and we need to understand that and know that, and we need to deal with him in that manner. But instead of that, why, usually we let him have his free will and rule, and he can slither around wherever he wants to, doing whatever destruction he wants to do. We don't desire to do that at all. We need to realize that here, just grab him by the tail. I think that's a neat statement here in the fourth verse. And he put forth his hand, and he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Okay, that was the first example. Throw your rod down. I'm going to show you, and you use this to show the nation of Israel. And so he threw the rod down. And so when he threw the rod down, it turned into this serpent. Then God said, pick it back up again. Well, we're back to faith again, aren't we? See, not only was he teaching Moses, showing Moses how to show the nation of Israel that he was God, but also he is teaching Moses faith. He's teaching him how to walk by faith. Now, would you, even though you knew that was your rod that you threw down there, would you reach down and grab that serpent by the tail? That isn't a very wise thing to do. But that was the command of God, and Moses did it. And in doing that, it turned immediately back to his rod again. What a testimony here. What a tool that we have. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became the rod in his hand. And so we need to see that many times, many things can be used of God to bring honor and glory. And you know, there's a lot of tools in this life that are things that are wicked if they're misused. But there are good to them if we look to the good and ask the Lord Jesus for His wisdom and His leadership, and ask God the Father to guide us, not to be misled, not to misuse some of the things. And you know, today in this life, why, this thing called a computer, that thing can be the most wicked thing that any man ever designed. And it has so much filth on it. But that doesn't make it something that is wicked. It's the devil that has taken something like that rod and used it for his wicked use and for his the furtherance of his kingdom, of the devil's kingdom, and all the garbage that's on that. But that doesn't mean that the unit itself is bad, and it doesn't mean that there cannot be good come from it. And so if you use it properly and avoid ever going into those wicked websites that are on there with the pornography and all the things that are there, if you stay completely away from those, completely. And, you know, I've heard of folks that they just want to see what's there so they can tell people to stay away from it. Don't even look. Stay away from it. And so there are many things. You know, you can say that about the radio, and you can say that about the television. You can say that about your automobile. You can say that about so many things. And yet all those things, if they're used properly... You know, I use my automobile so I can come to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. We love the radio with a means to proclaim this program. We do it for the radio. It is for that very purpose of getting out the gospel, telling people about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, how that He died so that we might live, and if you just come by faith to Him... And we've come that the whole purpose is of the radio so that you'll come by faith to Jesus Christ, to come to know the Lord Jesus. The second is come to grow in the Lord Jesus. I want you not only just to be saved, but I want you to grow closer to the Lord Jesus. But there's a third. There's a third. If you have listened, if you listen one time, just once, and you chose not to come by faith to Jesus Christ, you will stand before the judge without excuse. So you see, there's a threefold purpose of this program. One's to come to know, one's to come to grow, and the other is to be without excuse. You can tell Him, "I never heard the gospel," and He will say, "Yes, you did. You heard it clearly." Because He will name that hour and that minute that you listened to this program and you rejected Jesus Christ. So please today that you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Please that you trust in Him. And please come by faith. Look at Moses. Look at the steps of faith that Moses took here. We have in the fifth verse, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. He is telling him, I want you to lay that rod down. I want you to grab that serpent after it turns into a serpent. I want you to pick that back up and it turns back into a rod. Do that, and it'll show the nation of Israel who I am. And then he comes with two more examples as we move on to the sixth verse of chapter 4. But please that you understand that God is teaching Moses to walk by faith. He's going to have a lot of steps to take, a lot of steps of faith he is going to have to take. So please that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ today, and you come by faith. You come, please come by faith to Jesus Christ. We've had a wonderful study today. As each time I close, I'm going to ask you a question, and that is, what are you going to do about Jesus?